So we're in July for the Swords Relationship Seminar. Amen. Glory to God, people. I'm so excited for you. I wish I could deposit myself into your heart and mind so you can understand what God is doing, why He has chosen this little church, why we are special to God. And we are, people. We are very special. I'm starting to see that we're a crown. We're a gem in God's crown. I'm starting to see that we are paying the price for the meat of the gospel, for the word of God, to come to church, to stay together. We have outlasted many of the odds that is happening to churches all around the world, and especially smaller churches that are absolutely being vanquished and just destroyed and set free and set apart. Amen. So glory to God. I was going to play something for you, but I'm actually going to wait till the next seminar. I believe it's in August, if I'm not mistaken. And it'll open up your eyes, people, as to what is going on in the body of Christ to some degree. I'm sure that God has many people like Pastor and I that love His word, love Him, will do anything for God. We listen to God, we serve Him, we follow Him. People that strive for accuracy. Both Pastor and I have a history with God since we were able to even think or talk. And He has just watched our development and how we became people that search for truth. I ended up, as a nun. I ended up, in Catholicism for many years. I ended up just many circumstances that led me to the place where I absolutely despise falsehood. I despise false doctrine. When I hear it, you have no, my mind just pricks up. I mean, it's like, what is he saying or what is she saying? There's a lot of little false prophets right now in the land. There's a lot of stuff going on. People are prophesying this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And I always, Pastor and I, we always turn to the Lord. We always seek the word on things that happen. I bring things to Pastor and I'll say, Bill, or sometimes I even call him Pastor here at home, but Bill, what do you think about this? I mean, this person, you sound so convincing, because I don't judge people. I don't judge what they say until I sit and listen with my spirit, and then a little bit of a wall goes up, and I still listen to it. I'll bring it to Pastor and I'll say, Bill, what do you think about this? And we'll go to the word, and he always backs up with scripture, or I on my own will do the same thing. And so this link that I'm going to share with you, it's a main minister, a very, 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 very well-known minister, and the things that he says about the word of God and about God actually caused like an adverse reaction in me, because he was ascribing evil to God without knowing, I'm sure. If you were to ask him point blank, he would say no. And this man is actually my spiritual father. I got born again through him in 1977. So, but I want to share with you how things are happening around the world that the devil is on a rampage to destroy truth, to destroy the simplicity, the elegance of the word of God. There are things that are being posted about God's word, how it's all fake, how man it's man-made, but the arguments can be so convincing and so deceptive. And I've been telling Pastor this. Believe it or not, all this has to do with the message tonight. I've been telling Pastor, we are entering into a place right now in the body of Christ around the world where if you don't know the truth, you're going to get deceived. You're going to be a victim of all the stuff that is being preached out there. You must love the truth. You must seek for truth. Even with myself and Pastor Bill, you should strive to say, you know what? I wrote down some of the scriptures. I'm going to look them up. I'm going to see what the Lord tells me about this. Don't just accept what you hear at face value. And you should be able to challenge us. Pastor Eva, where are you getting this? Where are the scriptures? Pastor Bill, you said something that really sparked me. I need to know, why are you saying this? And so on. And you have to be that kind of person. In John 4:24, my son actually quoted this to me. We were fellowshipping a little while ago. And he said, Mom, the word of God says, for the hour is now, when those who will worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. I'm going to say it one more time. You are supposed to be seeking the Lord based on the spirit of truth and on truth and the spirit of God. And we've got a lot of other things happening in big churches. I have a history walking as a believer. I'm 46 years in the Lord, heading towards 50. I'm super excited about that. And you hear, in the early years, I myself got swept away with the prosperity movement, with the faith movement, and the extremes of it. And what it is that the devil is so smart, people. He will take partial truths. He will take something that is true, and he will pervert it. He quoted scripture to Jesus during the 40 days of temptation. Amen? And so you have to understand that he knows how to twist everything. So my encouragement to you is become that person that absolutely loves, is in love with truth. And you are coming to God based on the spirit realm and not the mind. There are, you know, I'm going to tell you, I don't know, the spirit of truth has, ironically, has come on me right now. And I'm going to tell you this. So, there are a variety of Christians. I'm not going to judge who belongs to God and who doesn't. Even in our own church, there's a little variety of these things. And I'm just going to say this. There are Christians that are cerebral Christians, intellectual Christians. There are organizations that I could name off one after another that are very cerebral. They block off the spirit realm completely. They don't understand it. They are afraid of it. So they reject it. And leaders of entire denominations and leaders of megachurches block out the spirit realm and don't go into it lest they offend people and all of that. And I don't understand how you can follow God and receive the word of God without accepting the spirit realm. God is a spirit. The Holy Spirit. Jesus is a spirit incarnate in flesh when he was here. So, you know, you have the cerebral Christian, the one that you know, likes to get fed, especially little stories or you know, little interesting things about the word of God. And then we've got those that are emotional Christians that really thrive when there's praise and worship and, you know, you're entering in and people are crying and they go to big churches or churches that major on worship and quote unquote the move of the spirit because they are emotionally wounded and that really ministers to them. But nowhere in the word of God will you find come to me because you like the praise and worship. You come to me because you feel good when I'm moving or whatever. Emotions come out for sure. We're not robots, but we are not to be approaching God based on emotion. And I really get concerned for people, for churches that major on praise and worship. We've gotten the world has permeated the church. Of course, Satan leads entertainment. Look at the people that are coming out from Hollywood explaining what's going on there. It's a beehive, you know, it's a festering pool, really, truly. And so you've got, you know, the cerebral Christian, the emotional Christian, and then you've got the Christian that is, oh my God, don't slip, please don't slip, emotional, a cerebral, emotional, and, well, let me describe the remnant, the one third of the body of Christ that the Lord is coming for. See, God's not playing any games. This is very real to him. He basically murdered his son for us. He had him killed, and he was tortured, tormented. He was humiliated. He was everything that a real convict probably should get. He did it to his own beloved son, the spotless Lamb of God. Amen. So God is very serious about what he is doing and what church should be like for us. Church should be for a real part of the remnant, a person that's part of the remnant, for a person that is a disciple. We're not supposed to stay babes, children, or sheep in Christ. We are supposed to be evolving. And what God is working on in this hour, but only because they are the ones that are open, is he's establishing his kingdom, is he's pulling us closer to him. He is desiring to release the Spirit of God without limit. I'm talking about raising the dead. I'm talking about stopping a tidal wave, all those kinds of things. God is seeking people that he can bring up in this hour because he's going to need us. He's going to need those people that dare to believe, that are praying for the sick, that are speaking in tongues throughout their day, that are seeking to read the word, that are seeking to get in the word, that are listening to strong messages, all of that. So the third group is the cerebral, the emotional, and then you've got the true remnant of God. And we're intermixed in the body of Christ. In other words, there's no one church where there's, let's say, 1,000 people and they are all a part of the remnant. You're not going to find that. In every church, I think there's about a third of that church that is truly discipleship. They're into discipleship. They are doing what the Word of God says. They are seeking to grow up. They are not being lazy. They are not being distracted in this hour. They are forging through. They are sidestepping themselves and their little humanity and their little sins. And we're reaching for righteousness and saying, no, I'm not going to be stopped. I'm not going to get left behind. I love God with every fiber of my being. Lord God, every cell in my body worships you. Every part of my being knows you. Every part wants to go with you at any second. Father, if you came right now, I would be ready to go. That is the hungry believer. Hungry believer. Oh, I know. The third one. The fourth one is the hungry remnant. The third one is the, oh my God, it just slipped my mind, you foul devil. here it is. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's the social Christian. These are the little Christians that are involved in like 10 churches. And believe me, some of them go to Swords. And they go to all the social functions. And they flutter around. And it's like, oh, they're going to have Bible study, but mostly coffee. And they're going to sit around and talk. And I'm going to go to that one. That's a good one. And they just float around whenever there's a social thing happening. Oh, a Christmas party? I'm going to go to that church. They're going to have hors d'oeuvres and refreshments. And I'm going to be part of that. So you're either an emotional Christian, a social Christian, or a, what did I say for the mind, Pastor?
Intellectual
Christian. And then, of course, the fourth one is the hungry one. Okay. And, you know, tonight, you know, we always send out probably, we probably invite close to 80 or 90 people. You know, right now we have 18. And of course, there's couples that show up. Sometimes there's entire families that listen in. So it's more than that. But honestly, people, Pastor and I definitively see the remnant in Swords and who they are. They are the ones that are showing up, and no social activity is stopping them. They are the ones that are seeking the truth and hungering. They are not intellectual. They don't fill their minds with, oh, I know so much. Oh, I can even quote the word. What are you living? What is raw and organic and alive in you of God? How well do you know God? What if people, when we stand before the Lord, what if it's an interaction here where if you don't know the Lord, then the Lord doesn't really know you as his follower. Of course, he created you. Of course, he knows your history. He knows your story. But what if if you look at him and you're afraid of God and you're awkward with him and you don't want to get close to him, what if he does not know you as one of his, as one of his own? So I am asking us, please, let's push into the hunger. Get hungry for God. Don't go through the motions. God sees all of that. We must be those people that, Pastor and I were just talking last night. I'm being led to do this, people, so just follow me, please. I don't normally do this, so I'm going to follow God. And Pastor and I, we were watching something, and it's actually a show that we're following, but it's very, very intriguing. It's about good and evil, to be honest with you. And an entire police force, and I love police forces. I pray for policemen all the time. I pray for all our soldiers, our military. I have nothing but good to say about them. I don't care about their humanity. They're keeping evil at bay, as far as I'm concerned. But in this show, this one, he's like the head guy, like the chief of police or something in this one particular police station. And he ends up, because he wants to have money and houses and all that, he bows to this very evil man, and he ends up becoming very corrupt. Long story short, they go through a series of events where even the one cop that was trying to sniff out the evil and the corruption in the police force of his police station, they kill him. The chief has another cop kill, another detective kill the man that was starting to come into the truth. He hated falsehood, that one policeman that died. He hated falsehood. He was looking for the truth. He was always trying to keep, you know, the purity of his calling as that of protecting people from evil people. And he ends up paying with his life. And I was telling Pastor, the anointing came on me, because see, when you're spiritual, you could be walking at the beach and God will invade you and open up this revelation. You could be watching a silly program and God will open up your eyes and teach you through that. And that's what happened to me. And I turned to Pastor and I said, Bill, we are now in the place, like that police force, where 7/8 of the police force in that police station were all like duped and dumb and corrupt. Some of them were corrupt. And there was just a little baby handful of people that wanted to seek the truth. And I said, Bill, I believe that we're in it now, Eva. Because I said, I believe we're coming into. And he said, no, we're in it now. Where if you don't know the truth, you're going to get duped. If you do not understand the word of God, if you do not understand what we preach, and you don't understand what you're reading in the Bible, if you don't understand messages and so on that are of God, if you are not rooted like a foundation, like you've got cement and you put your feet in there so that nothing can move you off the truth, then you're going to get duped. And I dare say right now that all of us, including Pastor and I, are fighting the current of being duped. That duplicity that Satan brings, where he gets one little ounce of scripture and then he throws you a mountain of deception. And we're in that day now. I agree with Pastor. And there are days, people, when I'll say, Lord, dear God, what is going on with me? Father, I wake myself up. I'm the wise virgin, Father, in Jesus' name. Because you can get distracted with anything. This is the hour of us to push in into the kingdom of God, into the Spirit of God, into holiness, where every cell in our body is alive for God, not our emotions. The emotions can come, people. I am a very emotional person, as many of you know. I'm not rejecting that part that God has given all of us, but we push into him in reality, in the spirit of truth, as Brian quoted that scripture in John 4:24, the hour is now, for those who must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. So why I believe the Holy Spirit had me share all this is because you have to understand that what God has given me as an assignment to teach, it's going to go against the current of everything you know. And you're literally going to be walking on water to be able to say, you know what? It's the Bible. It's the Word. She's quoting scripture and it's getting connected. It's forming a picture in my heart. I believe it's God. Even if you're there accepting it, it's going to take you being courageous enough to walk on water and to forgive yourself. You know, this is my second marriage. I have to forgive myself for that. All of the my miserableness, my failures. I've thank God, Pastor, who is teaching on righteousness right now on Sundays, who wrote a book on righteousness. Every house, this poor guy, not poor, this precious man. You can get this book in some of the bookstores, actually. And he didn't make a profit out of it. He didn't write this book to become a millionaire like a lot of ministers are doing. They're peddling the word of God to get rich. He wrote it, and it's so deep. A minister who read it called him. He was on the airplane, and he said, Bill, this book you wrote is absolutely amazing, Bill. And then, like, after he was done, he read the whole thing in the airplane. And he said, Bill, this is a beautiful book that you've written. So when you understand, like Pastor teaching us on righteousness, you begin to leave your miserable self behind. You're never going to get clean enough. You're never going to get good enough. You're never going to be on top of things to be able to say, oh, I can do what they've been preaching now. I'm ready. No, you start in the midst of your own self, tripping over your own feet, of your humanity, of your weaknesses, of your sins, of your lusts and desires, of your greed, of your darkness, all of it, you start pushing into God. I'm going for God. I'm done letting this little world that is this person that was formed by this world, I'm done letting it hold me back. I'm just going to step forward. If Pastor and I have done anything right at all in God, is that we learned how to say, you know what? I just messed up majorly. But you know what? I'm not going to let that old man in me stop me from the glory that is waiting for me right now. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to love God. I'm going to keep going, because I know right now we've got 19 people. Glory to God. But these 19 people, I know. You all love God. There's never been a question in my mind like, oh, these people are playing games. They don't really love God. Never. Every one of you that I can see right now, love God with all your heart. But we are allowing our weaknesses, the old man, the devil on our backs that he just climbs on us and tries to pull us back into the darkness. What Pastor and I learned to do was just keep going. You just keep going. You don't look back. You don't let anybody destroy. I have come to this place, people. I tell myself, if somebody comes against me or somebody, you know, lies about me or somebody gets mad at me or somebody is jealous of me, whatever it is, you know what I tell myself? I'm not going to let that person rob me of the progress I've made. I refuse to lose my ground. I refuse it. I'm hanging on like as if you're climbing a rock, the face of a mountain, and you're barely reaching. Hang on for dear life to your progress. And then you pull another hand, and you keep hanging on, and you keep hanging on, and you hang on for dear life to your progress. Because if you allow anyone to get you off kilter, because, oh, they were rude to me, they told me off, oh, they were mean to me, or whatever is going on, you have literally allowed that person to bring you all the way back to square one where they are. That's why they are doing what they are doing. Square one. You become gracious. You forgive that person in that moment, and you say to yourself, no one and no situation is worth me losing my place with God. Never, never will I give up my place with God. God is everything, and he means everything to me. Amen? And I think the Holy Spirit is having me talk to you this way, because if you do not apply yourself, this teaching, you're going to reject and say, that's over my head. I don't understand it. Eva doesn't understand my life and what I'm going through. And you're going to make a million excuses why you can't receive this most powerful, beautiful, holy, elegant, amazing revelation that God is gifting this church with right now. This has nothing to do with me. But like I've said, I've shared with you, and I will bring it to the forefront eventually, is that Pastor and I stumbled on this, and we lived it, and we're living it now. The blessings that come from doing things God's way. Amen? And that's what I want for you. I want you to have so much fruit. And people, listen to me, please. Families are eternal. Eternal. You're not going to be able to say, oh, you know, those kids, you know, they were on the earth. They gave me so much headaches. I didn't understand them, you know, or maybe you got a divorce and you left some kids. Oh, those kids that I left. No, you have to understand. God's going to take you. Now, listen carefully. This is prophetic right now. God is taking you where you're at right now. Let go of the past. Let go of the past. You are not of the past. You are of the present. And this present is making your future. Let go of the past. Whether there was one marriage, 10 marriages, whether it was one child, or 10 children, whatever it is, let go of the past. Pick up your cross today and follow him. Let go of it. We can't go back. We cannot go back and fix what we have maybe destroyed, hurt, did wrong. Welcome to humanity 101. That's what we all do as humans. We are experts at screwing things up, at screwing people up. But God wants you to hear this. Let go of it. Let go of your past. God is speaking to you about your here and now and where you're at. He's going to take you from here forward. Maybe you have three kids that are not even talking about God that you might and should have taught them. Let it go. Pray for them. That is one thing you must do. Pray for them. Pray for all the exes that you left behind. Whatever it is. You know, I have prayed for my first marriage. I have prayed for that person, that they got born again, that they found the Lord. I have periodically, I will pray for him and his entire family, which were actually very precious to me. They were very good to me. And I have prayed for them. Pray for people that you might have left behind, but keep going forward. Keep going forward. So tonight marks a new beginning. I want you to, after we're done with the message, I want you to sit down and write today's date, my beginning with God, and then start listening to this message, because God is going to help you win the people that you might have lost. You know, we can't win the exes. That's really, truly the past. But children that are involved, so I'm telling you, especially with children, they are eternal. You're not going to be able to, you know, when we get to heaven, I have two beautiful, wonderful children, Andrea and Brian. And when I get up to heaven, I know they're going to be there. And I'm going to know them as my children. It's not going to stop. So that's why we need to get this right, people. It's because, you know, hopefully everybody in your family is going to make it. I'm talking about the immediate family. The husband, the wife, the children, you all make it, you know. And we want to be able to say, you know what, I listened to the message. You know, with God, it's never too late. It's never too late to start. Even if you've moved on, you know, and you're in a whole other family or whatever, it's never too late to start doing right. Never. You can never say, oh, it's too late, I can't fix anything. That is so not true. Pray and listen to this message. Let it change your thinking, and let's keep going forward. Amen. I love you. And so let's start with a message now. Glory to God. I pray that ministered to someone. Thank you, Irma, for earlier, my love. I pray that you heard what I said, because it was not me. Had no thought about saying those things. God took over. A true biblical family. We have the father who is the cover. We have the mother, which is the heart. And then we have Jesus, our foundation. And he must be the foundation. Amen. Building to last. I love this picture. Look at him. You know, I believe they're all in the word right there. Generations. There's three generations there. So, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Psalms 127:1. That's one of my most favorite scriptures, people. Let the Lord build your house. How, Pastor Eva? He can't come into my house and get us all in line. Simply, let the word reign in your mind and your heart so you can start living it in your house. That's how you build to last. We will master building a lasting and loving family once we understand that everything, I'm telling you, everything about God is family. Everything he's ever done or created is for the purpose of having a loving, expansive, immense family of his own. And for all eternity. Isn't that beautiful that God doesn't divorce us? Isn't it beautiful that he doesn't reject us? We are his forever. God wants to pour out the ardent, passionate, real force of his love on his creation now and forever. Look at this picture, people. Look at all the people. And I don't know if you can see the little dots in the back. Those are all people. There's going to be millions and millions and millions of people in heaven in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's all God wants. He wants to have a family to love to grow together. Well, he doesn't need to grow, but for us to grow together as his kids and take on exciting things for all eternity. Only, you know, there's a scripture that says, "Eye has not seen nor ear heard all the great things that God has in store for those who love him." It's going to be so beautiful and so exciting, people. Glory to God. That the right approach to these teachings for both men and women. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation. What's a condemnation? It's an adverse sentence. Adverse means bad, negative, or awful. It's an adverse sentence, like you've been sentenced as condemned. A verdict, which a verdict means disapproval, denunciation, and criticism. God will not disapprove of you. He will not denounce you. That means he does not reject you and say you are not of me. And he does not criticize you if to those who are in Christ Jesus, make sure you're born again, make sure you're in God. And then it says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, that's a confirmation right there. We've got to walk with God now, people, in the spirit realm. I'm calling you in. Through these teachings, we're calling you in, the Father and I and the Holy Spirit, because you've got to depart from the flesh. Oh, those teachings aren't going to help. Oh, she doesn't know my life. Oh, she doesn't know how much we fight. All of that is the flesh. You've got to step out of that and start walking according to the Spirit. Now, there won't be a verdict, which is disapproval, denunciation, and criticism, if you are setting yourself to walk after the Spirit. So I'm urging you. I think that's why that exhortation came in the beginning right now, is because God is saying, stop living according to what you see, what you hear, what you feel, what you want, what you lust after. Start going after things in the spirit realm. Amen. And you won't get condemned and you won't get sentenced. Amen. Psalms 84:12. O Lord of hosts, how blessed and greatly favored is the man who trusts in you. And when I say man, we are obviously including mankind, women, children, all of it. How blessed and greatly favored is the man who trusts in you. That means believing in you, relying on you, and committing himself to you with confident hope and expectation. So God's going to bless you greatly, and he's going to bless you and greatly favor you if you start believing him. This teaching came from God. You can challenge it all you want. You can walk away from it. Nobody can make anybody do anything. But I am telling you that this message is from God. And I am telling you, we are being trusted and honored with this revelation. Glory to God. Accepting this revelation, this message from the Lord, and then setting ourselves to fulfill this word of God will require all of us people, all of us, to walk on water. It is an act of faith. It is trusting the scriptures. It is believing that God knows what he is doing. You're going to have to depart from the safety of the shore. You're going to have to depart from the things that you know. This is what I know. This is what I've lived. You're going to have to step out now and walk on water and follow God's command in this hour. I can't tell you how much each of us are going to need to be unified in our homes, forgiving, loving, caring, praying for one another. I'm telling you, a house divided against itself will not stand. Amen. It will fall. Glory to God. Now, this is important. This is where we start going a little deep here. Look at that city. And it's upside down, right? That's how we've been living. That's how we've all been living. Grandma taught it and we bought it. That's how all my family does it. That's what I learned in school. You know what I learned at the university? One of the things that really sticks out is that the Bible was written by men to control women. That was one of my classes in upper division. I'm serious. They put in question the word of God. Thank God my doubt only lasted like half an hour. But I'm like, is that what happened? Is that how men control women? It was dumb. And I wasn't even born again when I heard that. Amen? So this is how we've been living, people. In a world that's upside down. And that's why it's not working. Nothing's working. We take one or two steps forward and then 10 back. One or two steps forward and then 10 back. Because we're living a counterfeit reality. Let's read this. The Lord is giving us his perspective on things. And his perspective is showing us how upside down our world is. The more you listen to this message, and you know what? I hope you're listening to it not once, not twice, but 10 times. If you think, speaking of hungering for the word, if you think that you can listen to a message or show up, you know, one time and listen to the message and that's good enough and you walk away, you've already forgotten everything you heard. There's no way. There is no way, especially a message like this, a revelation like this, that you can hear it one time and walk away and say, oh, okay, that was good. Okay, I got it. I got it. No. When we started off, people, like I've shared many times, we spent the first four years of our walks with the Lord. We were the most precious, innocent Christians you could ever find. We only served God. We loved God. We walked away from everybody and anything socially. And we buried ourselves deep into the word for 4 years. And I heard so many good messages and CDs over and over that I had memorized them all. Took volumes of notes, 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 notes. That's how you get the word in you. You don't hear it one time because that's a cerebral Christian, an intellectual Christian. He loves information. Oh, I learned some really hot stuff tonight. Oh my God, it was so exciting. I can't wait to share with everybody what I learned. But until you sit yourself down and make it your own, you can't live it. You can speak it. You can talk it. And that's what a lot of your ministers are doing. They hear something. I knew of a man. Oh my God, this was horrible. And I went to Russia 4 times. And we were getting ready to minister. And this one man, one minister, was going to be one of the speakers. Very well known. And he was about to go up to speak. And he said, can I see your Bible? And I said, sure. So I gave him my Bible. And you know what he did? He was looking through, because my Bible was, I had written so much. It was like I rewrote the Bible on the Bible. And he was looking, 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 looking. And he said, and he stopped at a place and he looked at my notes and he said, thanks. And I said, is everything okay? And he said, yeah. He goes, I just got my message tonight from your Bible. That's what they do. I mean, not all of them. Sorry. That's what he did. And, you know, they hear a message and they regurgitate, you know, oh, this sounds really good. I can't tell you how many times I've seen ministers do that, people, honestly, where they go to conventions or whatever. They hear a message and they regurgitate, you know. And so anyway, back to this thing. And his perspective is showing us how upside down our world is. Our reality is not what it seems. What we are living day to day, people, is not what it seems. You think you're living your life out. How can this guy in this slide right here, when his entire world is upside down, how is he living life? How is he possibly, truly making some serious progress in his character, in his spirit realm, in his eternity with God? Our reality is telling us, you're okay. You went to church once a month. You're okay. Our reality is telling us, hey, you know how to speak in tongues. You know how to cast out demons. You're okay. You're awesome. Our reality is telling us, I can't let them pick on me. I can't let my wife push me around. I'm going to have to push back or she's going to take advantage of me. We are living a wrong reality. Everything about this world and what we all learned is upside down. It is upside down. And God is pushing two realms right now. The counterfeit. He's going to make it be underneath where it belongs in hell. And he's bringing up his kingdom. Oh, Pastor Eva, that sounds like too much. I can't do that. Ooh, you better be careful. You better be careful. Because if God's ways are too much, or you don't get it, or you don't understand, you need to get born again. Because all there is God's way. That's all there is. That's the real reality. Jesus, you know, they ended up crucifying him because he started pushing back the counterfeit and the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is here. He started pushing it and the world didn't like it. Who cares about the world? I was telling you about that show, that detective that ended up dying. They killed him because they didn't want the truth to get out about the corruption in the police force because of one guy that wanted money from the corrupt man. I can't get into all the story because it's not the point. But here's the thing is that if you are not careful, you're going to be deceived and wiped away. Jesus warned us. You know what he told us people in Matthew 24? He said that the deception is going to be so heavy. It's going to try to absolutely remove God from our minds. He said that I actually have to shorten the time of the Antichrist and the deception, the delusion, lest the elect get deceived as well. Those words haunt me. I am a strong believer. I live for God. And yet, if I am not careful, if I am not walking this walk from the heart, something's going to hit my head that's going to sound so good. And I'm going to say, oh my God, that's the truth. So our reality is not what it seems. Amen. Through his word, he is trying to right the wrongs in our life. You can't fix yourself. We're already programmed by the devil. We're already part of this world system. You cannot fix yourself. The only way that any of us can get to that place of being right with God is through God. He's the one that has to do the renewing by the washing of water of his word. The word will cleanse us. The word will set us right. He wants us to live straight and not in a twisted reality. See this poor guy in this slide? That's a twisted reality. He can't possibly live reality when things are a counterfeit, when things are upside down. He wants us to live life as he has ordained. Not as you ordained. Again, grandma taught it and we bought it. Not as you saw your mom and your dad do. None of that. It's the way God has ordained for us to live. And that's why he's given us this message. So we can all begin to live with God in our homes. And it is diametrically opposed to what we've known and learned and understood. Again, everything that we have learned has been twisted. We've been lied to. What is important in the world is an abomination to God. What's important to God is stupidity and ignorance. And that person's so weak, they need a crutch. They need a God in their lives. The husband's first calling is to love as Christ loves. Remember, I am laying a foundation. I asked the Lord if we could move forward faster. He said, you are laying a foundation that has to last. And when you lay a foundation, you don't rush through it because it'll collapse. We have some contractors on tonight. I believe we've got Charlie. We've got Steve Adams. Maybe some of you also. But when you lay the foundation, you got to do it carefully and make sure there aren't any holes or any impurities in the cement or whatever it is that you're using. So we're going to continue to just quickly go through these things. That's how husbands ought to love their wives, in the same way as they do their own bodies. Anyone who loves his wife loves himself. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love, and now you may say to yourself, how do I love her? I don't know how to love her. She's crazy. That would have been Bill the first 10 years of our marriage. He would have looked at him and said, I can't love this woman. So here's the thing. Loving someone has nothing to do with them. It has nothing to do with the person you're loving. Moms especially are notorious for mastering this. We love our kids, good or bad. We can't help it. Their DNA becomes a part of our DNA. Our DNA went into them. And we are tied forever with our children. Oh, my son. And so moms can never stop loving their children, whether they're good, they're bad, if they're troubled, if they're having issues, whatever, we're going to love them, right? So loving a person has nothing to do with them. That's why you can never say to God, God, I couldn't love them. That was an impossible mission. Because he's not talking about the person who may be giving you hardship. He's talking about you, his child, that has to do what's right. Amen? He is calling us to do what's right. Men, God is calling you to love that woman as he loves her. He is calling you to love that woman as he has loved you. Men have a very short-term memory. They forget how much God has forgiven, how much he has loved, how much he has endured as you messed up and willingly sinned or whatever it is that you did. He has loved you. He has never stopped loving you. That's the beauty about love. That's why you can love your enemy. Jesus said, love your enemy, pray for them, do good to them. Why? Because it has nothing to do with that poor little miserable person who hasn't grown and evolved yet and is a little thorn on your side. He is telling you to love because the God in you will accomplish that. None of what he's asking us to do, people, is based on our own power. You know what our own power got us? We fell. We rebelled. We disobeyed. We are weak. We are self-centered. We are narcissistic. We are all those things. God knows this about us. That's the old man. What he is telling us is trust the God in you. God is love, people. 1 John 4:7. God is love. He is love. So he will help you, men, to get this done. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love endures long and is patient. How many times, honey, do I have to tell you that? Oh my God, you're driving me nuts. I've told you at least 10 times. Love endures long and is patient. Oh my God, I have asked Bill for forgiveness probably a gazillion times. And guess what? He has never, ever, ever said no to me. The other day I did something and I hurt him. I did. And I said, please forgive me. And he said, I will. He said, just give me a little moment. And I'll get it together. That's powerful, people. That's powerful. So love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy. So you're going to be kind, men. You're going to be patient. And then love never is envious. You don't become envious with your wife. There are some men that are in competition with their wives. You're not going to be envious of her accomplishments. dude, if she looks good, you look good. If she accomplishes, it's your accomplishment as well. You are one. Love never is envious nor boils over. Oh my God, you get all worked up and you get in a fury and you start throwing things around or you stop yelling and screaming. You do not boil over with jealousy. Jealousy, oh my gosh. Very, very low life, jealousy. It's not boastful or vainglorious. Does not display itself haughtily. There, in my generation and the generation of my mom, the men would walk around like the cock of the walk. I'm serious. Like they owned the world. We are the men. The men rule. What we say must be done. No, no. Man is not the ruler of anything. Man is the greatest servant in his home. That's what he is. It is not conceited, which means arrogant and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. You know, you don't want to act like the world people. You don't, men especially. Love, which is God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights and its own way. Isn't that powerful? You're not going to sit there and say, what about my rights? You can't do that to me. That's unfair. Oh my God, Bill cured me of that. I said it one time to him. I'm not kidding you. One time. We got into an argument and he was telling me something, you know, like you got to get in line or something. I forget what it was. But I looked at him. I said, wait a minute, because I'm an educated woman. I took classes like social women, women in social movement, upper division classes, you know, on women's liberation, because it was in the 70s, people. That's what they were offering, some of the classes. And I know, you know, I got all puffed up and I got all upset, you know, because he was trying to get me to be in my place. And I looked at him and I said, I know my rights. I know that you're being unfair. I have rights. And Bill whipped around. Oh my God. You guys are so blessed you're not married to him. Because he, he's laughing over there. Because he lives the word. Brian's laughing. Because he lives the word. And he turned around. He whipped around, man. This was like the first 3 years of our marriage. He whipped around and he said, because I just finished saying, I know my rights. I have rights. And he said, he looked at me, guys. Ooh. He got this close to me, and not to kiss me, he got this close to me, and he said, you don't have any rights, and neither do I. He said, when we got born again, we let go of that garbage, Eva. If there's going to be any defending or anything, God will do it for us. He will fight our battles for us. But you gave up your rights, Eva. When you signed up to be a born-again believer, you are now a servant of God. How do you like them apples? Didn't get very far with that one. I got to hurry here. I'm going to finish with this. Let's see. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way. Don't insist for your own way. Gosh, people, we spend most of our time like cats on a hot tin roof fighting for what's ours. Oh, you're not going to treat me like that. Oh, no, I'm going to get. No, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And oh my God, we waste our time in such crazy things. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. Ooh, lordy, lordy. You just said what to me? You just did what to me? Takes no account. Lets it go. Let us go. I am learning that. Oh my God, finally. Oh my God, finally. I am learning to let things go. Nope, I'm not touching that. I'm letting it go, Lord. I'm letting it go. I forgive. I forget. I'm letting it go. It's becoming, I can't say easier. I can't say it's easy to do, but I'm beginning to pick up the momentum in that. Amen. Seeking to do what's right. So no account of evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. That means you're not going to live your relationship in lies, being covert or anything like that. Number seven, love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Do you believe the best of every person? That's one of Bill's favorite sayings. Love believes the best. Love believes the best. Oh my gosh, Bill. So love bears under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person, of your wife. Believe the best of your wife. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. Keep hope. Oh my God, our marriage is doomed. This is horrible. No. God, with God all things are possible. Keep the hope alive. And it endures everything without weakening. How's that for a Friday night? You're going to endure everything, everything without weakening. I am convinced that God puts us in families. Even growing up, our families growing up, our own families and all of that. Maybe even in work, you have a work family there. I believe with all my heart that he puts us with other people so we can grow strong in love. Because it takes love to make any relationship work. So without weakening. And then the last one is love never fails. It never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. So love never fails. It never fades. Well, my marriage has faded. Oh my God, our marriage looks like an old convertible of the 1920s that's been doomed and left in a parking lot to rust. Love never fails. It never fades out. The last line here, love must be kept alive on purpose. It is your job not to let your love fade out. There's no such a thing, people. Oh my God, the other day I saw this guy started having an affair with a woman. This is real. And he basically said, the reason I had to do that was because our love has faded out. It's gone from our marriage. No, you know what happened? You stopped sowing. Love doesn't end. It doesn't fade away. Not real love. Never, never, ever, ever, ever. Again, going back to the mother and her children. That love never fades. It never stops. We just love. We love. Amen? Now, women, we got to do that with our mates. Amen? Don't let the love fade out. If you are acting like two old little, I was going to say a word, but like two old people, even though you're 30s, and you were like, oh my God, this is getting boring. Oh my God, this is monotonous. Oh my God, I'm not going to last in this marriage. It's because you stopped sowing. Whatever a man sows, that is what he's going to reap. Amen? So it is your job to keep the love alive. And men, since we're starting with you, believe me, we're going to walk the women through all of this. But love never fails. It never fades out. It's your job to ignite the spark. Honey, let's go for a Coke. If you don't have money, and trust me, there was a time when we had no money at all in our home. And, you know, go up to her and say, let's go get a Coke. What? Oh no, I already took off. I'm in my PJs. And you know what? You can go. Just go, baby. I really want you to go with me. Come on. You can even stay in the car. Just come with me. Baby, let's go walk around the block. What? That's weird. No, honey. Come for a walk with me. Let's talk. Hey, I read a scripture the other day. Let's talk about the scripture while we walk. Keep it alive. Inside of me, I have to fight laughing when people tell me, I gotta get a divorce because the love has faded. No, you know what faded? You. You faded out. You stopped sowing. You stopped doing good. Because it is a law that whatever you're putting into something is what you're going to get back out. It is a law. Amen? And so start sowing so that it doesn't fail, it doesn't fade out, or becomes obsolete. That means it's gone. We went through the marriage and we're done. Everything's gone. I don't care. She don't care. We're done. That's not a failure on marriage. Marriage works. That's not a failure on love. Love is God. It works. It's a failure of what you're sowing. So, or comes to an end. Love will never, ever, ever come to an end. Women, you can understand this. And many men are like this. Thank God. Many men are like this. They will love their child till the end of time and then some. And then some. So it will not end. Love does not come to an end. Wake up. Get in there. Brush yourself off. Put a little cologne and grab that woman. And even if you're sitting next to her watching TV, hold her hand, talk to her for a minute, start sewing. Buy her an ice cream on the way home. Buy her, and these are all hints. No, not really, Bill. Buy her a little candy, her favorite candy. Buy her a little gift on the way home. As you're walking in from the garden, men. Oh, my God. My brother-in-law, Dan. He's got a green thumb times a million. He can make anything grow. And he grows the most beautiful, beautiful roses and flowers in his garden. And I can't tell you the times that my sister has taken pictures. He'll put them in a little vase, or she does, but the flowers come from him, from his own garden that he grew, and he gives them to his wife. I just want to cry right now, because that is so precious, so elegant, so simple to do. So men, on your way into the house, if you see a little flower on the floor or something, pick it up and bring it to her and say, honey, I love you. What? How's that going to hurt? You just laid a huge seed of love in the ground of her heart, and it's going to come back to you. Amen? So no, love does not fail. We are done for today.